So thanks to Joan and Jimmy, as always, and also to Sharon, Jay, and Sheila for their poems. And thanks to all of you for coming. We really appreciate it. So I'm going to read just three poems, and although Sharon advised against it, they're all set in December. But to soften the transition a little bit, the first one is about a very warm December, the kind of you know, moment that comes as a unexpected blessing in the middle of winter, but also maybe as a kind of dark question. December, new millennium. So warm, the hedges almost bloom, though the jagged skeletons of fake electric icicles are twined along the front yard chain link fence. In the windows, faded Steeler signs, tribal gear still out, although the season's done. Would you like me to? I'm going to start over. Okay. So warm, the hedges almost bloom, though the jagged skeletons of fake electric icicles are twined along a front yard chain link fence. In the windows, faded Steeler signs, tribal gear still out, although the season's done. Lazy from the playground comes the pock, 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 and thunk of basketball. And on the bus today, a man, almost theatrical, in calf-high boots and cape, was reading a garden book. Bright pink and purple squares, laurels, rhododendrons, species being forced beyond this climate zone. But for us now, it's this kiss of almost summer, fragrant with transience and sun. It's like magic, the breathy air today. You could almost pretend our leisurely earth was washing itself again. Though, in the end, magic will not save us. Cape and wand, rituals and signs, potions, costly powders, tusks and bones procured from the tawdry dealers and such things, shark fins, albino skin, rhinoceros horn. Did I finally get the sound okay? Was that working for me? Okay. Going to read just one poem from my first book. This starts with the story of the legend of St. Julian, but it kind of tells it two ways. And to my mind, this poem's kind of about this mysterious business of giving and receiving, which one's which. The Sainthood of St. Julian. In the traditional version, young Julian is given everything: richly tooled books, saddles, horses, hounds, falcon, title to the estate. The boy turns vicious, caught himself by the lust of the hunt, treasuring the majestic stance of an 8-point buck, crumpled to its knees, the paralyzed look of peasants scattering like chaff in a field before his coming hooves. By accident, he kills his parents, and afterwards he gives up all, walks barefoot 50 years. We see him in the end, health broken, leaning on his wizened staff. It's December, almost dark. He's waiting on the riverbank for the ferry. This is not death, just a real riverbank and a real wooden boat, far out of sight, out of hearing. The wind cuts through his thin cloak. From nowhere, in the ebbing light, a figure appears, a leper with open sores on his face and forearms. In a whisper curled with sour breath, he asks to share the cloak. Then, for the warmth of Julian's embrace, and last for a kiss full on those corroded lips. It is the Christ that Julian kisses, and the two ascend. In another account, every detail is the same, except that Julian, waiting by the river, lets fall his staff, tries to warm his hands against his rigid body. He recalls his dead parents, his childhood friends, lost through viciousness, through time. Even God has left him. He almost believes he would give it all up, his prayer, his penitence, for a warm fire, some good wine. From nowhere, the leper comes, with nothing, even a shawl to share. And sitting by the barefoot, hunched old man, gives Julian that welcome, scrofulous kiss. Going to close with a longer poem written for a woman in our neighborhood that I used to call the lady with three dogs, but by the end of her life, she was really down to one dog. And I hope this poem is somehow worthy of her and that captures in some measure her own kind of uniqueness and also our calling to live into our own. So again, this is fairly long, but it kind of goes along like a story. It's called Each Perfected Name, and it starts with an epigraph. And they realized that the end was still far, far away, and that the hardest, the most complicated part was only just beginning. Anton Chekhov from a story called The Lady with the Dog. Was it the 9th or 10th? There was no notice of her death in the city papers. Just a snowy hush across our neighborhood, broken by the scrape of shovels. We stood, half bowed, to get our breath. Almost Christmas, yes, but all we knew was that the sidewalks turned to slush, then a ghostly fog, and Helen wasn't walking with her dog. Whatever day it was, her final breaths were in an ambulance, being moved from Mercy into hospice care. A boyish EMT brushed a sweat-damp wisp of hair from off her forehead, held a penlight to her eye. People asked about her on the corner, on the bus. A neighbor took her dog. But for weeks, her body waited, sheeted, washed, and brushed, but unattended, at the county morgue. Helen, our holy fool, leaving stale bread crusts for the pigeons and the jays, Giant Eagle, Kogo's, St. Rosalia School, Greenfield, Windsor, Mirror, every blessed street and alleyway, every weather, every time of day. When we first met, I'd greet her with a word. She barely spoke. Lost in her overcoat, she'd back away, skittery and small. You're a good man, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Over the years, though, different. Her skirt still out of date and frayed, her hair unkempt, yet she displayed an undeniable bent for fashion. Just the right hint of midnight blue or mauve in both her skirt and blouse. Or, without quite seeing it, we'd sense that one of her trinity of dogs was absent from the turbulence and tangle of her leash. Then, another year, another gone, disappearing quietly, like griefs. Our talks grew longer. Where will you be going on vacation? Maine again. And will you be staying near the Kennedys with all those rich? Or, you're so educated. How you dress. She told me once that kids would call her crone, that someone once had thrown a beer can at her from a passing car. It was 3 days into Lent. I still could see the ghost of ash upon her forehead, like a mark of caste. I picture how she must have been at Mass, taking the wafer on her tongue. Hospital, hospice, host, her single self, candle in a small red glass that flickers on an icon shelf. February now. Things long hidden start to show. Brown patches in the backyards, scattered trash. Our sidewalks etched with salt and grit. Then, in the evenings, you begin to notice it. Light hangs longer in the sky. Through the tangled phone lines, as you crest a hill, you catch a startling rose and yellow glow. Getting coffee at a place I frequent, but a little far from home, I mentioned feeling glum at having lost a friend. A woman who was always with her dog, I said, a local character. A glimpse of recognition in the server's face. You knew her too, I asked. No, but a woman who was here just mentioned her. Being of great but unsound heart, and of a mind of odd, uncertain parts, Helen R. Lavelle, in her unwritten testament and will, bequeaths this catalog. Item, prepaid sublease on brown frame house with porch that sags. Item, aging, dingy dog. Item, on the porch, her last effects, a mound of plastic garbage bags. Filled with what? Who knows? Three frayed leashes, each small clasp, each metal clasp, a question mark. A dresser and a closet full of clothes, weathered high-top shoes, a kitchen clock, transistor radio, a sparse but matching set of boneware dishes, pasteboard box of hair barrettes. Intangible bequests to all the neighborhood. Her crazy affirmations, compliments, wide erratic circles, her unceasing steps. Gathered to remember her, we sit, a quiet cluster at the rear of St. Rosalia's. Tonight, the little saint is cloaked in violet for Lent. Most of us non-Catholic, unsure of ritual and prayer, we cannot take the sacrament. Still, we shuffle forward, kneel. The unfamiliar ash is rough upon our skin. Mixed with it, a sheen of oil, a fingerprint, a seal, a ghostly claim. And maybe there, the glistening of each perfected name. Outside, it's cold, and yet we linger on the steps, partly out of friendliness, partly because it's dark. We like the glow of porch light. Partly, it's because we sense that when we go, marked with the gritty ash and fingerprints, that when we pass McNally's, yesterday's, the Windgreen Bar, and Tanya's Beauty, where we specialize in every kind of hair, past the closed consignment store, its dusty windows, armless mannequins, past the faded crosswalks that don't protect from anything, past the street kids hanging by the park, back to the circles of our homes and work. That's when the hardest, the most complicated part begins.